My guest at this time is former Michigan Republican Congressman Pete Hoekstra, who is also the former chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He's now with the Investigative Project on Terrorism and is also author of the new book, Architects of Disaster. We wanted to get his insights on some of the key questions lingering after Friday's radical Islamic terrorist attacks in Paris, for which ISIS has claimed responsibility. And Mr. Chairman, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, always good to be with you. Thank you.
Well, one of the things that we're hearing, of course, and it makes sense given the fact that the attacks were largely successful, is that the authorities simply had no clue of this plot, even though there were at least eight and probably several other people involved in this plot. What does this tell us about ISIS being able to fly fairly successfully beneath the radar right now?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I think that from my sources, what I'm hearing is that there was some general awareness that there were some attacks or an attack was imminent in Europe. So, you know, that was out there. But again, no tactical insight into exactly where the attack would take place or when it would take place. It just tells you that ISIS and these radical jihadist groups and, you know, in countries of 80 million people or in a country of 300 plus million people like the United States, it's not that difficult to hide and organize and prepare to carry out an attack like this.
Well, there are other things that we're learning here. This is from Yahoo News, courtesy of Michael Isikoff and Daniel Clydman, reporters in this arena that have been around a long time. They say the attacks underscore the mounting difficulties U.S. and Western intelligence agencies are having in tracking the terror group, resulting in repeated warnings that their efforts to conduct surveillance of Islamic State suspects were going dark. And they go on to say that one of the reasons we're having this problem is that the revelations from Edward Snowden essentially gave a roadmap for what to avoid in terms of communications being deciphered. So what's your sense on those two issues? Are we essentially going dark? And what do you make of the Snowden connection here?
Well, I think there was some impact from Edward Snowden. As I said at the time, this was not an American hero protecting American liberties. This was an American traitor that was giving away some of America's secrets that would make us more vulnerable to these kinds of groups and these kinds of individuals and these kinds of attacks. You know, what Snowden did is it gave our enemies insights into how we do it. But, you know, they've been fairly technically capable all along, and they've always been adjusting, but this accelerated their learning curve and may have helped them somewhat. The other thing it has done is it has made U.S. and European intelligence communities much more sensitive and in some cases less able to do some things because of internal pressures, because of the misperceptions that the American public or the European public may have had about what we were doing in each of those countries. And then thirdly, it kind of drove an artificial wedge between the U.S. intelligence community and our allies overseas. When Merkel was identified as, you know, the U.S., they're listening to your phone calls. Well, just within the last week, there were indications that German intelligence was looking at U.S. companies. So all of those things conspiring together make us less effective to do what we need to do.
How do we catch up and even get ahead of these people?
You just got to push the technology envelope as quickly and as fast as you can. We need closer intelligence sharing between our agencies. We need to push the technology envelope as quickly as we can, and we need to improve our human intelligence. It's very, very difficult to get human intelligence, to get spies into these groups. But, you know, there's a number of European countries that have pretty close ties or long-term relationships going into places like Libya and Syria. And we ought to, you know, do everything we can to encourage and facilitate those countries to use the ties that they have and the reach they have into these countries to develop human spies.
Want to get your thoughts on a couple of other issues related to this, Mr. Chairman, as a result of developments just today. First of all, we know that at least one, maybe two of the terrorists in Paris came to Europe as refugees from Syria through Greece. Several governors now have stated they will refuse to accept Syrian refugees, including Governor Snyder in your home state of Michigan. While it's not clear exactly what legal ground they have, what do you make of their decisions, and what do you make of the president's refusal to have any sort of reevaluation of the refugee acceptance?
Well, the White House is, they're in total denial. Ben Rhodes, I believe, the president's deputy national security advisor over the weekend, I think basically lied to the American people. Said, you know, hey, we've got a good vetting process in place where we can vet those that are coming from Syria into the United States. No, we do not. You know, the records don't exist in Syria, especially after you've had 5 years of civil war. We don't have a relationship with the regime. It's an ungoverned area. We don't know who these people are. Ben, shame on you for even implying that we've got a good vetting system. We're lucky if we can get the names right for these people who are coming here. The decisions by governors like Governor Snyder and others to say we don't want them coming in, I think it's a good decision. I wasn't quite sure why we were ever welcoming these folks in. We are a welcoming nation to refugees and to these kinds of individuals, but only after they've been vetted. And, you know, this problem is not solved by accepting refugees into Europe and to accepting refugees into the United States. This problem is solved by eliminating ISIS and bringing some stability back into the Middle East. You've got to wipe ISIS out.
Sir, the president spoke today at the G20 summit in Turkey, and a couple of things caught our attention that I want to get your reaction to. First of all, he said while Paris was, in his words, a setback, he believes the current strategy remains in place, no major alterations need to happen, and that ultimately his strategy is the one that will prevail. What's your reaction to that?
Well, this is the strategy that has led to the failure of the nation state of Yemen. So Yemen is now an ungoverned area. This strategy is a strategy that has led to the failure of the nation state of Libya. So that is now an ungoverned area, just just south of the soft underbelly of Europe. This is the strategy that led to the failed nation states of Syria and Iraq, which is fueling the refugee crisis and led to the creation of a caliphate called ISIS. I'm not sure what country or what strategy this president is looking at that he believes is working. But when you've got at least four countries that are no longer governed and are failed nation states and are home for the planning and training and preparation for attacks against the West, that is not my view of success.
And finally, sir, in addition to the president saying he believes the current strategy is the correct one and it doesn't need any major alterations, maybe a little bit of intensification, he followed with this.
But what I'm not interested in doing is posing or pursuing some notion of American leadership or America winning or whatever other slogans they come up with that has no relationship to what is actually going to work to protect the American people. And to protect people in the region who are getting killed and to protect our allies and people like France.
What do you read on that, both in terms of what he's saying and the message that it sends?
Well, I have no idea what he just said. All right. It has no comprehension in terms of laying out a strategy or what he actually wants to get done. People are being brutalized and murdered, and they have been and massacred in this part of the world for the last year. Take a look at what has happened to the Yazidis, what has happened to the Christians in Iraq, and the other failed states that this administration has allowed to occur. And it's clear, this message is clear. When the president says, I have no intention of following or implementing a strategy that about America leading or whatever slogan they may come up with, it is clear that this president does not have a strategy in place for America leading in Northern Africa, the Middle East, or for that matter, any other place in the world. I hate to be that critical of this president, but America is at risk. We are in danger, and we are losing our position. And it's not about maintaining our position in the world, but we're losing our influence in the world. And we've been a voice of stability, security, democracy, and human rights. And we are just losing all credibility throughout significant portions of the world.
Sir, on that troubling note, we'll have to call time. Thank you very much for your insights today.
Always good to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Former Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra, also former chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He's now with the Investigative Project on Terrorism and is author of Architects of Disaster. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.